You are listening to Love and War with David Harwood. Our goal is to offer spiritual insights that will enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. Should you be edified by what you hear, please recommend Love and War to people you love. Let's begin. Well, let's talk about blessing. One of the things that I think is remarkable in the scriptures is that blessing, being blessed, being in the state of being blessed, is normative for the people of God. In Numbers 6, verses 23 through 27, God told Moses, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.' So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them." So God commanded his priests to bless his people. God commanded his priests to bless his people so that God himself would bless his people. That's a remarkable thing. The blessing of God is working in our lives in partnership with people. God will bless others through you because you have been given the authority as a priest to bless. The sons of Aaron would come out from the holy place, come out from the place of presence where they'd been ministering to God, and they would release the very presence of the God before whom they ministered to the entire nation. God says, "I want to bless my people. For me to bless my people, I will raise up and preserve a holy priesthood who will come before me, commune with me, and then turn around, leave that place, stand as if he was standing before the entire nation, and release blessing." Well, let's take a look at this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. Essentially, from the time of Genesis onward, the thought of blessing has to do with being strengthened and multiplication. The Lord strengthen you and cause you to be fruitful, multiply you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Hebrew there concerning being kept has to do with being guarded. The Lord strengthen you, cause you and that which you do to be multiplied, prosper you, and guard the blessing. Continuing on and looking at this blessing, which Aaron's sons were commanded to release over Israel, the commanded blessing says, "The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you." When the Lord's face is shining upon people, that means that people are able to see that he's pleased. People all of a sudden have a revelation. This God, he is pleased with me. And then, "And be gracious to you, because he is pleased with you, he will favor you. In fact, he will make you to be a demonstration of his favor." The Lord bless you, the Lord guard you, the Lord make his face shine on you, and make you a demonstration of favor. The last part of this blessing goes like this: "The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace." I think of this in terms of the heavenly court, where every human soul stands before God, and there are the purposes of God waiting to overtake that person, and yet also the adversary is there accusing them before the throne of God. Well, in this situation, it seems to be written that while we stand before God, even if we're not deliberately standing before God, but God is conscious of us, and we, every human being, lives to some degree in his presence, whether they know it or not. As Paul said, "In him we live and move and exist." Well, the Lord lift up his countenance on you, take notice of you, and give you shalom, decree peace over your life, shutting the mouth of the accuser, breaking off every curse, deserved or inherited. God himself desires to bless his people. The verses we're looking at are in Numbers 6, verses 23 through 27. And the last verse says, "So they shall invoke my name, my very presence, my essence, on the children of Israel, and I then will bless them." Now, the way in which many of us are taught to think, if the God of Israel's presence is on the people of God, that they will be incinerated, but that's never been the heart of God. God's heart is, "So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will have my own way and will bless them." God's purpose is to bless his people. He established a priesthood, and in that priesthood, he established a specific high priest and says, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, release blessing upon my people." In Psalm 67, verses 1 through 7, we see that the psalmist, speaking for the nation and expecting the nation to be praying along with him, enters into the blessing that was released through the sons of Aaron and says, "God, be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us." Just like what's being spoken of in Numbers 6, "The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you." Oh God, Psalm 67, "be gracious to us, be favorable towards us and bless us, strengthen us and cause that which we are doing to succeed and to prosper, and cause his face to shine upon us. Let us know the sense of God's pleasure. Let us know his presence." Verse 2, "that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations." Here we go. Take a look at this. The blessing of God, his grace, his favor, his blessing, his shining face. This is what the psalmist wants all of the nations to know, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. We, Israel, the blessed people, we are God's advertisement. God, bless us as a people, and let your salvation be known among all nations. Verse 3, "let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth." He's going to judge the peoples with uprightness. Oppression is going to cease. Injustice is going to stop. Justice and mercy will be established. Do you know what that is like? It's like this. "The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you shalom," give you peace. "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth," with the result that the earth will be filled with shalom. "Let the peoples praise you." This is in verse 5 of Psalm 67. "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him, may have awe in him, and rejoice because he is showing the way into the partnership of heaven with earth." He will do this. Listen, that's what God is saying. I want to bless you. I want to guard that blessing. I want you to know my presence and my favor. I desire to demonstrate my favor to you. I will regard you in the courts of heaven. I will lift up my countenance upon you and give you, cause you to receive shalom. Listen, this is the heart of God for all the earth. Psalm 67, the people of God are saying, "We understand the purposes of God. We understand that he desires to bless us. Therefore, we will intercede with our eyes on not just the benefit that will come to us, but the benefit that will come to all the nations of the earth." And so blessing is released over the nation, and then blessing is prayed for by the people. And then, surprisingly, there ends up being a man who asks God to make this same blessing to be particularized and specific to himself. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him with pain." Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. This man, who caused pain from the day that he was born, who is named after the experience of his mother's hardship, he called on the God of Israel and said, "I want my life to be the opposite of my name. Oh, would you bless me indeed and enlarge my border?" He's reaching into the Aaronic benediction. The Lord bless you, people of Israel. The Lord bless you, cause you to be strong, be successful, and multiply, and guard the blessing. Oh, God, make that real in my life. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my border. Guard the blessing in my life. Let there be so much blessing that comes upon me that the borders have to be enlarged. And Lord, guard the borders. And that your hand might be with me. Lord, cause your face to shine upon me and make me in demonstration of favor. Yes, the entire nation, but God, me in the midst of the nation, make me a demonstration to the nation, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. God, you're the one who is able to make rich and add no sorrow to it. Do this with me. And then it says here, because of this man having a life of integrity and faith, it says God granted him what he requested. Now we enter into the time of the New Testament. Here is a specific principle in Hebrews 6, verses 13 through 15. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you." And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. So here is God saying to Abraham, "I am going to bless you." And we know that blessing has to do with strength and multiplication. "I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you." And Abraham reached in faith, received this to himself. And even if it did not occur immediately, he waited patiently and he obtained the promise. That, by the way, is a really good example for us. However, someone might say, but does blessing mean the same thing today? Isn't blessing today more along the lines of spiritual blessings, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the material realm? The spiritual realm affects the material realm. Let's take a look at blessing within the framework of Jesus' life. We'll look at two sections from the Gospel of Mark. Mark 8, verses 5 through 8. This is one of the times where there are crowds, multitudes, being with Jesus while he's ministering to them, and then Jesus is concerned that they would be hungry. He wants to feed them. That's, by the way, an amazing thing. Did you know that Jesus is the same today as he was then? What? The Lord would be concerned that someone would be lacking that which is necessary for life? He would be concerned that they don't have food to eat? Yes, he is. So, into the text. And he was asking them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, 7. And he directed the people to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks and broke them, and started giving them to his disciples to serve to them, and they served them to the people. They also had a few small fish, and after he had blessed them, he ordered these to be served as well, and all ate, and were satisfied, and they picked up 7 large baskets full of what was left over of the broken pieces. Did you notice that when he blessed those fish, they were multiplied? Well, it's right in line with God's blessing. When he blesses, he strengthens and causes there to be multiplication. But does this have anything to do with the desire that Jesus may have for individuals' destinies? Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. He was calling forth destiny. He was speaking protection over them. He was giving to those children that which the parents desired their children to receive from God. Jesus, the mediator between God and humanity, blesses those who come to him. One thing which I have noticed about children and also about parents is that they want things to go well for them. What child is there that you know that doesn't want things? They want things. They want to have a good day. They want fun. They want peace. They want security. Do you know that the Lord is not insensitive to these type of desires? He is aware of and rejoices in his capacity to fulfill these desires. He is not just the God who meets needs. He is also the God who meets desires. And I love this. He takes the children in his arms and, blessing them, lays his hands on them. What I'm trying to say is that the blessing that is spoken of in Numbers 6, Psalm 67, and 1 Chronicles 4 concerning Jabez, the same concepts are present within the framework of the Gospels. Now, I want to mention, it says in Hebrews 7, verse 7, "Without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the greater." Now, I want to mention this. This is also the case with us. The greatest blessing is not in receiving blessing, but in having been blessed, having enough to give away to others to bless their lives. Acts 20, verses 32 through 35. "And now I commend you," Paul said, "to God and to the word of his grace, to the word of his favor, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Dear ones, this is how God lives. God lives the greater one. Without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the greater. The greatest one lives to bless. And as we enter into the receiving of blessing, into the receiving of grace and favor in every area of our lives, we will have that which is ours to be able to give away to others and enter into the joy of giving to others that they also may be blessed. So, in closing, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.
You have been listening to an episode of Love and War with David Harwood. We hope these biblical, spiritual insights will enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you were encouraged by what you heard, please recommend Love and War to people you love. Our intention is to share another episode next week. Meanwhile, according to the favor of God, think about what you just heard and apply it. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to write me at loveandwar_dh@yahoo.com.